different enemies that the children of Israel fought themselves battling against, the Amalekites and the Philistines and all the different Perizzites and all them nations over there they fought against. You know who that was? That's a bunch of Gentiles. And all through the Old Testament, we find it over and over again. We find David and Goliath. Goliath was a giant Gentile. He was a Gentile. We find also in the Bible, Jonah in the book of Jonah, and God told him to go to Nineveh. And you think about Jonah, if you really study that out, I believe Jonah was a real patriot and loved his people, the Jewish people. And he didn't want to go to the Ninevites. He knew that they were a cruel people and that they would eventually come against and try to destroy the Jewish people. But those Ninevites, they're a bunch of Gentiles. The Babylonian captivity, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, Daniel carried away, and Nebuchadnezzar, and all the problems that Ezra and Nehemiah had when they went back to build the temple and build the wall. It was the Gentiles. So, there is a case that could be made by the Lord Jesus. Why should I ever do anything for the Gentiles? The Gentiles have done nothing but be an enemy to the people of God. And even when the Lord Jesus was a baby and Herod tried to destroy and kill all the children, it was just the Jewish children. The Gentiles tried to do that to the Jews and wipe out the Lord Jesus. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was a Jew. He said this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 12, about being a Gentile. He said that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Alien, that's a stranger, that's a foreigner. We didn't have anything to do with Israel as a Gentile. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a pretty bleak outlook. Without Christ, without God, strangers, aliens, strangers from the covenants. That's the Gentile. That's the picture. That's the reality that the Gentile finds himself in. And the Lord Jesus told this woman, he said, I've not come but to any but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But nevertheless, this Gentile woman, she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Her character, first of all, is that she's a Gentile. But there's something else about her. Not only is she a Gentile, but she's a desperate individual. The Bible said in Mark chapter 7, and verse number 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. She didn't just meet him on the street and ask him a question. She sought him out. When she found him, the word of God. When's the last time you saw anybody fall at anybody's feet? It's a desperate situation that this lady is in. And verse number 26 says the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him. She besought him, the Bible says. Now, how did she do that? Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse number 22, shed some light upon what it means that she besought him. She's in a desperate situation. In Matthew 15, verse number 22, the Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She's in a desperate situation. Be good for us to take a minute and look at her not as a Greek or as a heathen, but when I read here in Matthew and Mark about this lady, what I see here, I see the little mama coming out in her. I see that she, even heathens ought to love their youngins. And here's a woman and she's got a terrible situation. You talk about tearing your heart out when your children, you have a problem and you can't do anything about it. And boy, she's desperate. She's desperate, but she has heard from her Jewish neighbors some good news that there's somebody that could help her. And it's the Jewish Messiah, the Christ. The word Christ means Messiah. And she's heard from her Jewish neighbors. I mean, we're up here in the border of the country. And so there's Gentiles, Jews, and traveling back and forth and all in the same coast and everything. And she's heard some things. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. The Bible said again, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And entered into an house and would have no man know it. He could not be hid, but look what the Bible says. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, look what it says there, heard of him. Heard of him. She had heard about the Lord Jesus. Not only had she heard of him, but she knew where he was. He's in a house. The Bible said he could not be hid. She heard of him. She came. She fell at his feet. So yes, it's true. She's a Gentile, but she's a desperate little mama. And she's got a daughter that's got a terrible problem. And she's heard the good news that the Lord Jesus, everybody he touches gets healed. There's never been a devil that he's come up against that he couldn't cast out. There's never been a sick person that he couldn't touch and do something for him. She's heard about these things, the Bible said. So yes, we find some things about her character when we study about her. Then we notice something about her request. If you look in verse number 26 again, back in Mark chapter 7, verse 26, the Bible says, she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But in Matthew chapter 15 verse 22 we read over there that this is not in the book of Mark, but in the book of Matthew, when she came before the Lord Jesus, she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. That's a Jewish title. That's what she had heard about him. He's the Messiah. He's the son of David. So when she comes to the Lord Jesus, she cries out, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. That was a Jewish title that we find in the book of Matthew. But I was studying about this today and I thought some things about prayer. I noticed some things about prayer when we come to this lady that we could point out about her. She came to the Lord the best she knew how. How you pray, preacher? Well, just start out the best you know how. She didn't know that much about the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't know what the Jewish people knew, and some of them didn't know very much, but she came the best she knew how. She came with urgency. Well, that's a good way to come. She came and she fell at his feet. She came with urgency. She came with honesty. She didn't paint up her situation and make it look better than it was. She came and the first thing she said, have mercy on me. She needed mercy. She needed some help. She came with humility. She called him Lord. A lot of people act like God owes them something. She didn't act like that. She came, fell at his feet. She cried out, Lord. She came with all the knowledge that she had about him. Everything she had heard, she saw him as the Messiah. Even the Jewish people didn't. But she said, Lord, thou son of David. That was what she knew about him. What she did not know is that she had no part in that son of David. She had no part in the house of Israel. She's getting ready to learn. She's getting ready to get a lesson. She's going to find out, lady, you're not a Jew. And I didn't come to anybody but the Jews. So we find that she prayed the best that she could. She had some difficulties. We look over now in Matthew chapter 15. I want to point out the difficulties that she had when she came and made this request of the Lord Jesus. Now, we could say a little bit about this. Matthew's written to the Jewish people. And so in the book of Matthew, it has the part where she said, O Lord, thou son of David. Mark, remember when we studied, beginning studying the book of Mark was written primarily for the Roman people. So it's not mentioned the part about being the son of David. But you put them together, you find a more complete picture of exactly what happened. But she had some difficulties when she came and made this request of the Lord Jesus. Now she said, in verse 22, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. First difficulty is found in verse number 23. But he answered her not a word. The silence of the Lord Jesus Christ. She came, she poured out her heart, she humbled herself before the Lord there. And she made her request known, and what does she get out of it? But he answered her not a word. What would you do if you went and put yourself in the position that this lady had put herself in, and the Lord Jesus wouldn't even talk to you? Most people get mad and go away. You and I'd probably, if so, we went to somebody and asked them something and they wouldn't even respond to us, we'd probably get offended, we'd get mad, and we'd go away like, what's wrong with them? That's what the Bible said. The Lord Jesus, he answered her not a word. Have you ever prayed? And that's how you felt like, not a word. I've been praying, I've been asking, I've been looking, I've been expecting, I just had a lot of faith concerning this, but not a word. Well, if it ended right there, that wouldn't be too good of a message on faith or answer to prayer, would it? But it doesn't end there. But at first, and that's how it is sometimes when we pray, at first it seems like we don't get an answer. He answered her not a word. That's the first difficulty, and to me that'd be hard to overcome. And then the second difficulty we find that she had was the disciples. Look, in the last part of verse 23, it said he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Boy, what a blessing. That's how I'm being sarcastic in saying that. The disciples, can you imagine? They come to the Lord Jesus. What did they say? Send her away. Here she is crying after us. She's bothering us. Send her away. Make her go away. Do something with her. They didn't say do something for her. They said send her away. Get rid of her. She's bothering us. And the disciples, sometimes they miss the whole point of everything sometimes. They're slow. They're slow to understand the power and the person of the Lord Jesus. And if you study about the disciples, and as we've been reading and studying here through the book of Mark, it seems like there's a trend. Whenever the disciples run up against something they don't know what to do, their answer is send them away. Send them away. Remember back in chapter 6 and verse 36 where the multitudes were out there and it was getting dark and they didn't have anything to eat, and the disciples, you know, send them away. That's all they know to do. The attitude of the disciples sometimes, forgetting where the Lord brought them from, but sometimes they act like these people are a lot of trouble. These sinners are bothering us. Send them away. Send them away. We could ask ourselves, well, there's a lot of application in these verses. We could examine ourselves. Do we ever drive others away? I hope not. We ought to attract people to the Lord Jesus Christ, not drive them away. There's many a person out here that is turned off by the actions of those that claim to be disciples. They claim to know the Lord. They claim to be in fellowship with the Son of God, but their actions drive people away. Well, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want any part of that. Well, that does a lot of harm. And so we need to make sure that we're not like the disciples on this point. and trying to drive people away from the Lord Jesus Christ, but that she had the silence of the Lord. He didn't say anything. And then the disciples, all she could hear they said was they went to the Lord and said, "Send her away, send her away. She's bothering us." Then there's the problem of her own unworthiness. Look here in verse number 24, what the Bible says. They said, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Verse 24, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He let it be known in her hearing, he was not sent to her. He was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That would be like saying, to her, "Sorry, I'm just not for you. I don't have anything for you. You're a Gentile. You're not a Jew." How would that make you feel? Talking about the unworthiness. She did not belong there. She didn't have any rights. She didn't have any claim. She was not of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So her own unworthiness, a lot of people would have given up right there. Well, that's a fact. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. They're all Jews. I'm not. A lot of people would have went back to the house. She didn't give up there. Then there's the righteousness of God. Look in verse number 26. The Bible says, or we'll read verse 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Now, it is not meet. That means there is not meet. It is not right. He told that lady, I mean, she humbled herself further and came and cast herself down. And the Bible said, worshiped him and said, "Lord, help me." And he just said, "It's not right. It's not meet to do that." That word meet, that's what that means. It's not right to take the children's food and to cast it unto the dogs. They all knew that dogs was a reference to the Gentiles. Nobody would take food from their children and give it to a bunch of dogs. A parent wouldn't do that. And so the Lord Jesus said, it's not meet to do that. It's not right to do that. Now, she could have gotten real angry about that. She could have been offended at what he said. Now, that's just going too far. He just said he'd made a application or insinuation. He didn't say, "You are a dog," but everybody understood that there was a difference between the king's children and the dogs. But he answered and says, "Not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." I said king's children, but it doesn't say that. But the children of the food and the children's food and cast it to the dogs. She could have gotten angry. She could have left in a huff. She could have went away mad as an old wet hen. And most people had said she was justified to get mad about it after the way that she had been treated. But I think about this when I'm studying this. There are many out here today, when they hear the truth of God's word, they get offended, they get mad, and they go away. They go away when they hear the truth of the Word of God. You see, the truth of the Word of God is this, that you and I are sinners. Romans 3 and 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah, "All our righteousness are as filthy rags." That's what the Bible says about us. We're all deserving. Oh yes, we're deserving. We're deserving to go to hell. We're deserving to die without Christ and spend eternity without Him. And when people hear the truth of the Word of God that they need a Savior because they're a sinner, they get mad, they get offended. How dare them? How dare that preacher? I can't believe he said that. He's just preaching what the Bible says. Boy, people get mad. You talk about somebody dying and going to hell. Boy, people get mad over that. They'll get offended over that. She didn't. She did not. She had a lot of things to overcome in order to get her blessing. She did not get offended. She did not go away mad. In fact, she had an argument with, not an argument, but she made her case. I guess that would be a good way to put it. She made her case before the Lord. If you look back in Matthew 15, let's just read down through these verses. I've sort of skipped around, but in the last part of verse number 22, she said, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, she's heard all that and she's been treated that way. But look what she said in verse 27. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Her case before the Lord was one of faith. Truth, Lord. That's truth. If we're ever going to get anything from the Lord, we're going to have to get where we learn to agree with Him. Truth, Lord. Yes, that's the truth. But, she said, look back in Matthew chapter 7, what it says. We'll go back over there. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 28. The Bible said, And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord. That's the same place. That means the same thing. Yes, Lord. Truth, Lord. I mean, Mark chapter 7, verse 28. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. The Lord said in Matthew 15, 28 to her, He said, Great is thy faith. After being treated the way that she was treated, but she kept on, she kept on. She wouldn't take no for an answer. And finally the Lord to this Gentile woman said, Great is thy faith. She had appealed to him as the son of David, but found out she had no part in the son of David. So she appealed to his character. She appealed to him as Lord. And she made a prayer unto him that the Lord hears. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. That's what she said in chapter number 15. And she knew that he would help her. Even though it seemed very unlikely that she was going to get anywhere with him or with the disciples. But she knew in her heart that even though, now that's the difference between faith and, you know, we might say, well, I prayed about it. Well, she prayed about it too. And she had faith. She kept on, she kept on. And it was a prayer of faith, even though it seemed unlikely, even though it was difficult, even though it was humiliating for her to continue on when a lot of people had went away in a huff. She hung in there. And she knew the Lord was going to help her. It was a case of faith. It was a case of humility in verse number 28. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs, what she was saying, I'll take that, even though I'm a dog. Even though you just put me in the category of a dog. She said, Yes, Lord, that's true. But even the dogs get the crumbs. That took a lot of humility, didn't it? She could have got really mad. Boy, you try something like that in this day and time. She said, Yes, Lord. But even the dogs. And if you study out the language in the biblical setting, she was, when she said dogs, that was the word dogs for little dogs. The little puppies. Even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. That's humility. And when we pray and when we come before the Lord, God looks at our heart. And humility, and I know you've heard this before, the way up with God is down. We've got to humble ourselves before the Lord. Psalms 51 verse 17, The Bible said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God pays attention, and he recognizes the broken heart. He's seen her heart when she came. He knew what he was going to do for her when she came. But he used that situation to draw out of her the great faith that she had. The word contrite in Psalms 51, it means brokenhearted. Brokenhearted for sin, deeply affected, to be humble, to be penitent. And she really had to humble herself in this passage of Scripture. She came humbly. She came in faith. But in the very end, her argument to the Lord, or her case before the Lord, was an appeal to the pure grace of God. Why did the Lord do that for her? Because of his grace. You see, he was right. He had come unto none but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he had to be faithful to that offer. As he offered himself to the nation of Israel as the Messiah, he wasn't just playing games with her. He was telling her for the truth. He came to the Jews. She had no claim upon him whatsoever. She had no standing. She had no connection whatsoever to the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." That is just the grace of God. She said, "That's exactly right." We sing that song, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." She didn't say, "What about my daughter?" She didn't say, "I've been a good person." She didn't say, "I come from a good family." She didn't say, "My neighbors are all Jews and I'm good to them." She just said, "That's right. That's the truth. I don't deserve nothing. But even the little dogs get some crumbs." And he couldn't turn her away. Her faith was rewarded greatly. That's the last thing we see about her is her success in what she desired. Verse 29, "And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. When she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." Pure, unadulterated faith may be tried, it may be tested, and it is. A lot of times we say, "Lord, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it?" And it becomes a real trial and it becomes a real test. But pure faith, trusting in the grace of God and His greatness, it'll never be disappointed. He said, "For this saying, the daughter's gone out of thy daughter. And she went home, and it was. And it was. She was rewarded for her great faith. We don't deserve anything. We're just like the Syrophoenicians. We're a bunch of Gentiles. We don't deserve nothing. But isn't God good? Isn't God good? And it's better for us on this side of Calvary than it was for her on that side of Calvary. We've been brought in, grafted in, made heirs and joint heirs together with the Lord Jesus. Boy, he's done a lot for us. He's done a lot for us considering our background, considering our genealogy, that we're Gentiles, Gentiles. But God has been good unto us. I hate that Israel rejected their Messiah, but for our sake, it's been a good thing. And a good thing. So we praise the Lord. We pray for the Jew. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I'm glad some old Gentiles got in. Got to be a part of the bride. Get a home in heaven. What a blessing. Have her prayers answered. So we find the Syrophoenician woman. I don't think I've ever preached on her in all these years. Maybe just referenced to. But what a blessing that is. And she went home. Found her daughter healed of the devil. And boy, when your youngins is in trouble, it'll break your heart. Break your heart. So what a glad day in her life. Now next time, not next week, because Lord willing, Brother Carper will be here, but next time we'll finish up, Lord willing, chapter number 7. And so I appreciate your good attention tonight. I'm enjoying so much studying the book of Mark, and I hope you're getting a lot out of it as well. Has anybody got anything on their heart?